Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hey, welcome everyone to the From the Shadows podcast. I'm your host, Shane Grove, and with me again is the super producer, Jason.
Greetings, everyone.
You know, that the greetings, that kind of makes me all warm and fuzzy. I forgot how good that is every time you say that. Jason and I were just kind of lounging around tonight, not together, but we were just kind of lounging around, not doing anything.
No, not together.
I got a message through Instagram, which, you know, I tell everybody, hey, if you got a story you want to tell us, just anything paranormal, cryptid, you'll get a hold of us on our Facebook page, From the Shadows Podcast. You can get us on After the Shadows, which is our forum page on Facebook. Find me at Shane Grove Author on Instagram, or our From the Shadows Podcast Instagram page, or go to the website, From the Shadows Podcast, and hit the contact button. Send us an email. And tonight, lo and behold, like I said, just kind of lounging around. It wasn't like we didn't have a interview scheduled, and like the heavens opened up. And God, came down with his golden touch and said, surprise, guess what you guys are going to get? On Instagram, I got this amazing message about this incredible sighting. And so I got Jason out of his, I don't want to tell everybody, but I think he was probably lounging around in his underwear and t-shirt watching Happy Days reruns. But
put your clothes on.
Put your clothes.
Sometimes.
Hey, Sally, we haven't introduced you yet, Sally. You're not allowed to say that. But we decided to bring Sally, who reached out to me on Instagram. Sally from Northern California. Welcome to the From the Shadows podcast.
Welcome, hello. Sally.
Hello, Jason. Hello.
Hello.
So Sally, give our listeners, a little bit of background about where you're at and what your interests are, because I think you kind of have a passion about the subject, and let's get into the story that you told me.
All right. I live in kind of a rural area of Northern California, Humboldt County. And my hobbies is I like to raise chickens, and I got my two boys that I'm raising, and we live in the country. We just do whatever comes to mind, pretty much. They're free 24/7. And a couple years ago, I just got into this Bigfoot thing. I can't remember exactly what triggered it, but I think I was walking down a trail in the redwoods. There's an avenue, and like we were walking down one of the trails, and I looked down and just seen this giant footprint. There were actually two footprints there. Actually, it was really kind of crazy. There was two of them, and I took a picture of them, and then from then on, it's just been this big deal for us. Every spare minute we get, the dad's not at work, we all head out and go Bigfoot hunting.
Wow, that you sound like a pretty cool mom, because that's not what I got to do growing up.
No, yeah, trust me, we have their dishes and stuff.
Okay. So where you're living is, I mean, that's like a notorious hotspot for Bigfoot.
Yeah. I guess I've heard of a few times. People, there's been a few things I've heard about around here, but I don't know. I start talking to my friends about it, they kind of just laugh me off, but they think I'm foolish.
So they don't even think it's cool. They just think it's kind of crazy.
Well, they're my friends, so they'll listen to it. But I could just see it in their faces, you know. Like you know how people are. If they've never seen it with their own two eyes, they just doubt it. You know, a lot of people are like that. Anyway.
So once you saw the footprints for yourself there, that kind of convinced you that okay, there is something to all this.
Well, it just became a fascination. So I started looking up on the BFRO. I go on that a lot, and I look up all the sightings that people put on there. And there was one just back in January that somebody had posted about hearing a howl scream come from the forest right there on the same trail where I'd found the footprint. Amazingly enough, I was like, whoa, two dings and one bill. And I was like, okay. So I went back there and I've looked, and you know, there's all the tree bins and all the weird stuff, which I think the tree bins are pretty significant when it comes to the Bigfoot and finding him and like finding ways to track him or to get close, to know what the tree bins are. I believe that they are to create coverage, like to hide him more. Like when the trees get so tall, all the bottom branches aren't really so plush, so they take the tree and they bend it down to, you know, bring the plush part to where it blocks any view, you know.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah, that's interesting for sure.
So you want to hear my story about this back in February here? I'll tell you.
We don't want to hear that. I mean, Jason just got dressed. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I think I can talk a little more comfortably now. I know you got your clothes on. I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah. So it was a Saturday in February. A girlfriend of mine and her wife had invited me up to their property, which is, I'll go ahead and tell you, it's located about 12 miles west of Redway, which is a little bitty town through the Avenue of the Giants. And I started driving up this windy road, and it was, I don't know, about 3:30 in the afternoon. So it was going to be dark, you know, in about a couple hours. So I was trying to get there, but I almost got lost. This is how far up I'm going into the nowheres. And I get a signal. I get her on the phone. She tells me where she's at. And I put her in the driveway, and I see all kinds of Bigfoot, you know, Bigfoot enthusiasts would be like, oh my God, Bigfoot's here somewhere. And so I knocked on the door, and she answers, and I go, the first words out of my mouth, I'm like, you not know anything about Bigfoot, would you? And she's like, She's all, well, what makes you ask that? She kind of chuckles and she goes, come on. And she says, we'll eat dinner. And she says, I got something I want to show you. I was like, no way. I'm thinking, no way, right? Like, what could you possibly show me I haven't seen, you know, like other than the real thing. And she makes the dinner. We eat it. And it's about like 45 minutes before dark. And she opens the back door and she turns around and she looks at me. She says, no, you have to be very quiet. We're going to walk down this trail in my backyard and you have to be quiet because I don't, you know, like you don't want to spook away what I'm going to show you. And I was like, can I bring my phone? And she's like, well, not if you want to see what I'm going to show you. And I was like, wasn't really any more questions after that. I was like, okay. So we head down this trail. It's like a bunch of pokey bushes on each side of it. It's not very wide. It's like, maybe like 3 foot wide. Like just enough for you to walk down without scratching yourself on the holly. And from the very beginning of the trail, you look down, it looks kind of like it closes off at the end of it. Like it's just becomes a dead end with bushes. Like, so it narrows, but when you get to the end of it, it opens up into this giant garden. Like it's like a normal person's front yard, like huge wide. And normal person, that was funny, huh? Okay. Anyway, normal person's front yard. Just a average size front yard size. And we got to the end of it, I looked up and like they were standing there. There was three of them. They were just, I can't even put into words. I'm blushing just talking about it right now. I haven't told very many people this story, so it was just amazing. I never ever believed that I would ever get to see anything like this in my lifetime. It's every Bigfoot hunter's dream, really. made me feel really big and like powerful and like seasoning like that. I almost felt like screaming, I love you, Bigfoot, but you know, you can't. Told me I had to be quiet.
So you're walking down this path and there's no indication of what it is that you're gonna see. I mean, like maybe you're going to see a wood carving, or maybe you're going to see.
You know. I was thinking maybe like a den, or maybe some really cool tree like bins and artwork or something, you know.
Yeah.
Like a
okay.
house by Bigfoot or something. I wasn't really expecting him and his wife and his kids, so to say. You know, I just wasn't expecting that at all. But they were there. They were just standing there. He was standing there with his nose up in the air, like smelling the air, it looked like to me. If you want, I can show you the details. I don't know how long you got.
Well, we got until you get all the details. I mean, So tell us as you stepped out and like what you saw and, you know, kind of what was going through your head. And I mean,
what kind of reaction did he have when he noticed you were looking at him?
I peed my pants, actually. I'll be honest with you.
Oh, most people would.
And peed my pants. Embarrassing as it is. Yeah, I didn't even realize I had wet myself, so to say. It was a matter of probably maybe like 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds at the most of visual experience of them. And I was halfway back to the house before I realized that I started to get wet. I started to get cold, my pants. Like, I was like, what the heck? But I mean, I don't know, like, if that's something that's like supernaturally that they can do to like people or creatures or other animals or whatever, just like so that they know that they're there, like the smell of your urine, so to say, would like give them the alert that you're close or something's close. I don't know. But like his nose went up in the air and his top lip curled up and it was just so amazing. I was like, oh my God, he had these huge canine teeth, like big, huge yellowish canine teeth coming down over his bottom lip.
Ooh,
it was
boy.
So natural looking. It was just amazing. And his woman was knelt down with a toddler Like my son's five, and the littlest Bigfoot there was maybe just a little bit bigger than him, which he weighs 50 pounds. So I don't know if you can picture that in your mind, but my friend told me that the baby had only been there. Maybe this was like the second winter. So,
okay.
She had noticed the baby there. The significance, I think, of the food, like this, the food being prominent there for all those years, that might have been why they had the baby, I'm guessing. She said, because there was only the one that she knew of when she first moved in, and then there became more action, you know, where she could hear something over here, and then on this side of the yard, and then something over there. So then she realized there was probably two of them. And then after all the years of planting the garden just to keep them away from the house, because they would literally throw rocks at her house and bang on the walls and stuff, especially when she'd bring home fresh game. Oh, she'd go hunting. She'd hang in the back of her house in the loft, and not in the back of her house, the back of her back part of her house, yard in the loft, and she'd hear him. Sorry, I'm outside. Allergies are going to drive me crazy. Excuse me. But no, that was what she was saying to me, anyways. Was that they were getting to where she was overwhelmed, you know, like. She just wanted to kind of push him away from the house, but and that was how she was in the garden. So it was like 10 years, 10 or 11 years or so she'd been growing the garden. And that was, I believe that's why they have the baby too, because it makes sense. I think all creatures are like that. What do you think? Like, if the food source is abundant, then they have.
Yeah. Yeah, if they have a plentiful food source, it only makes sense that, they want to settle down in that area. It's remote. They don't have to worry about a lot of people. It seems like a good time to procreate. Yeah.
Now, so from the time she moved into that house, these creatures made contact, basically let her know they were there.
Well, the one for sure, she said there was definitely the one.
Okay.
There were even times when she would have swore it was looking through the window, like she it was just too close for her. She said it made me really uncomfortable. She said so.
She never asked somebody to come out and kind of investigate. She never asked anybody to come out, and maybe try to drive them away. She just kind of took it upon herself to come up with a solution, and her solution was, I'll grow a garden far enough away from the house that they'll stay away from me.
That's kind of for
somebody that sounds like they were kind of surprised by any of this stuff, that actually is a pretty good solution to a problem, you know?
Well, yeah, she didn't want to know. She assumed that it was that's what it was. I mean, there's nothing else that, I mean, even when you just look it up and you just Google something throwing rocks at my house, it just instantly pops up with Bigfoot. So it didn't take, long for me to get the guess that that's what it was.
Did she ever tell you that, I don't know, they're trying to communicate with her? Were they trying to be hostile, or was it more inquisitive, where they were trying to figure out what she was, like she was trying to figure out what they were, or
maybe they just knew the smell of it, like, you know how when if you've ever skinned a deer, like the smell, the gamey smell of it. I think that she had food. They knew that she had the guns and the things to get the food, which. Maybe, I don't know what time of year it was when she moved in there. I didn't ask that, but thinking maybe that it might have been a scarce time. It might maybe, there is a lot of people that go hunting up there. Maybe it was hunting season. Who's to say that, that's why they came, they wanted her to, like, I'm thinking maybe they wanted, because she was by herself for the first three or four years, she said, before her wife moved in with her. But they, I'm thinking that maybe that was just,
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
They just were hungry, and I think they just wanted to let her know they wanted some of that meat.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes, especially if it's hunting season, maybe they don't want to be out in the woods with all those guns, you know.
I mean, listen,
deer seem to almost know when it's hunting season. Why wouldn't Bigfoot? You know what I'm saying? So you're standing there, and you're standing there. How close were you to this family?
Oh, and, not far. I was about 30 feet, I guess you could say.
About 30.
The garden, she said, was 20 by 30, and I was on one end, and they were on the far end.
Okay. And so they obviously knew you were there. Did they make eye contact? Did they make any – like, what was the reaction to you coming back with her?
The big guy, he kind of – after he put his nose in the air, I could tell that somebody different was there. I'm thinking. She told me she lost interest, you know, years ago about walking back there and just seeing him anymore. She said, I just let him do their thing, kind of let him stay wild, you know. And she said, I think after he smelled the different smell of me, I'm thinking that he was like, okay, so I smell her and I smell something, somebody else, so I'm just going to bail. He kind of reached down and tapped Mama, I'm guessing, on the shoulder, and Mama picked up baby, and they just kind of nonchalantly walked back into the forest that was on the other side of the garden there. And it was 30, 45 seconds worth of a visual whoa. And
that's fascinating.
Yeah, it was.
So, gosh, can you imagine being so bored with...
No.
Being able to see it, that you just didn't even bother to go back there.
No, that would never happen with me. I'd be back there studying them.
Yeah, and see, that's why they don't come around you, Jason. Because
Yeah, I've never seen one. Yeah.
No, you're going to expose that.
So
one day maybe, but I haven't seen them yet as of yet.
So describe, like, how big the male was.
Oh, God, he was huge. Like, I'm going to say 10 foot tall. Like, he was big. There was like, how do I describe, like, how I could tell how tall he was? And just being so close, like, the closer you are, the bigger they look, I'm sure. But people, when they say that they looked, 6 to 8 foot tall, I mean, that's a young little one I'm imagining, because this guy was huge. Tall, 5 foot wide. I couldn't tell couldn't have been a whole lot of fur, because as he was walking away, I could see the muscles, like, as his hair would flap to his walking, I could see the muscles behind his, or underneath his fur. I could see him moving, like, the whole texture of his body, and just amazing.
Wow.
Now, and so how big was the one you're calling the mama compared to the male?
I'd say she was probably about half his size. I know, that's why I was guessing it was the woman, because I didn't get to see the front of her. When I walked up, her back was to me, and so was the baby's, and they were leaning down in the same, like, bent down in the same spot, digging for something.
Now, did they make any noise or anything as they turned to leave?
No, all the way home, though, all the way down the mountain on my way home, PG&E had chopped up a bunch of wood and dropped some trees, and there was like wood lengths along the road to pick for people to pick up, and I was gonna hop out and grab some of those to bring home with me, and I could hear them down through the gulch on the other side, because the mountain's like up above me over a ways, and I could hear them in the gulch just right down below me, just whooping and hollering, and I was like, oh my god, I'm going home.
Wow. So did you, you said that you got a chance to examine one of their prints when they left, when you guys were in that area.
Yeah.
What was the, like, how big was the print? And then what, how deep was the impression? Because I know that thing, if he was 10 feet tall and roughly 5 feet across, I mean, he was probably very heavy.
It was 21 inches long.
21 inches. Wow.
Yeah. Good grief.
It was 21 inches long, and it was like, I'd say maybe 3 inches deep. Where we're at, but it was, yeah, it was, it would have been a great casting impression. I just, one of those things where she just told me she was going to show me something, so I didn't have time to, like, prepare.
You had no idea what it was. Wow.
I was thinking, oh wow, like, this is gonna be neat, but I never would have thought it was actually gonna be that. I was honestly thinking she was gonna show me some tree bends or some neat braided vines. I really didn't know.
So is this area, like, where she lives? How remote is it as far as neighbors?
I'd have to say the nearest neighbor is probably, I think she's the only one on the mountain. The whole mountain's hers. So, like, I'd say probably maybe 10 miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like it's like the only person they got to worry about is her.
Right.
Okay.
On that side of the mountain. I know that it's just her.
Okay. Now,
boss, there was no other driveways. The only reason I was able to find it was because there was no other driveways but one. So I was like, she's like, the only driveway. And I was like, okay. So I just kept going. And I found the one driveway. And I was like, this must be it. But yeah.
So you had to have a million questions for her.
I did.
Right?
I just didn't have all day to ask them, unfortunately.
Like, so she's like, what I would say is, like, so she's never attempted to, like, take a picture or get video or anything. She just kind of lets them be.
She had tried. She said, I've tried even solar powered cameras. She said, I've even, things that didn't have batteries or anything in them, she said, I've even tried that. She said, every time I approach back there with any kind of anything to capture evidence with, she's like, it's never, they're never there. Like, they just, it's like, they're always back here this time of day, she'd say, but they're, whenever I bring a camera or, like, my phone, or they're always gone.
So like, they can sense that stuff is,
apparently, yeah, like, just, yeah, I think so. So that was my guess, but the way she was, that's why when I said, hey, can I bring my phone, she was like, not if you want to see what I'm going to show you.
Well, that goes hand in hand with what we've heard from other guests. I mean, they set up trail cams, have them camouflaged, and and they can't catch any footage at all. So
I think they're super sensitive to the sonar that comes from electronics.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're super sensitive to, like, they have like really great hearing, and I think it's just really messes with them. It's almost like nails on a chalkboard to us, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that their senses are a lot more heightened than what the human senses are. Yes.
Huh. That's just it's just amazing to just have her say, "Yeah, I've tried, and I can't get it." Because it does. It goes. It really does go hand in hand with everything we've heard of, and everything you see and you hear on every other show, that, you know, trail cams are about useless. And I think the only, and right there is a prime example. You only really see one if they want you to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're driving down the road and one's
happens to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if you see one out in the open in a situation like that, it's only because they want you to see them, for sure.
Yeah, I imagine he knew that she was coming, like, because I mean, well,
probably the second she opened the door,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, how could he not? How could you not know that that was the sound and then the result of you guys coming down the trail? What was going to happen? You guys were going to come into the garden, you know? And
I was just really envious. I was really, really jealous of the fact that she had that friendship with him like that, but even though she didn't spend no time communicating or trying to get to know him, she was still so much closer than we are, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
She could do whatever she wanted to, and they would trust her to do it, obviously.
Wow.
Well, other typical behavior is earlier you had mentioned how she says that they used to come up before she made the garden. They used to come up to her house and look in the window or beat on the side of the walls outside. And that's also behavior that we've heard from other guests.
I think, and that's why she got the property so cheap. I think people that she bought it from were like, oh, hell no.
They will. Yeah. Can you imagine if something was up messing around with your house every night? I mean, yeah, you would. You'd want to get out of there.
Yeah. That's why I think gifting is important. I think that if you have a Bigfoot that you think, like, I have one, I think, that lives down this across. I mean, I'm going to start doing these YouTube or Instagram videos. I'm on, since you're following me, you can follow with me, of my property. I do believe that there's one that lives back down below me. And I believe that if there's a wooded area,
mm-hmm.
that there's a Bigfoot. I don't think that there's very many wooded areas that they don't at least pass through, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think that's how they travel around, is through the wooded areas.
That too. Yeah. Like, maybe they do migrate through seasonal, and wherever food is abundant, as they, you know, like, you have to move where the food is.
Mm-hmm.
Come and come up the river, and they're there, you know. And like, when, and if people probably paid more attention, like, during those time periods, like when the salmon run, or when, you know, like the berries are ripe, so to say, they probably might even get a picture. You know, people don't the time of year, you know, like, seems to me.
Yeah.
And the snow is falling, and it's like they're expecting to see a Bigfoot, and I'm thinking, I don't know about any of that.
Well, I don't know about you, Shane, but I chalked this up as a positive experience. I mean, it was nothing hostile, and got to see not one, but, you know, possibly a family that's living in that area. And they were not hostile to a stranger.
Well, all except for the peeing of the pants.
Well, I mean, just think about it. You know, realistically, if we saw one Bigfoot, if we saw the baby, we would probably kind of freak out, because we've never seen anything like that.
I think you probably feed your pants too.
Yeah.
Well, I go back as to, I guess I would call him my friend now, because he and I talk quite a bit. One of our former guests, Happy from Georgia, and his experience, and how he just, like, look, I just passed out and I peed my pants. And it's like, holy smokes, you know, to be able to just say that because first of all, yes, that has to be an embarrassing thing to have happen, but to say it under the circumstances, I mean, I think people got to understand, like, yeah, I'm sure I would too.
Oh yeah, I'm just being realistic about it. Of course, I mean we're just not used to seeing anything like that.
No, it's not supposed to exist, you know. And when you see something that's not supposed to exist, then
your mind takes time; it has to process it.
I definitely speaking of minds and processes, I definitely can tell when I'm looking at people's pictures they post. Cause like, what do you think they'll say? And like, you're looking at it, and I can tell. If it's a real picture or not, you know,
right,
or fake, and I'm like, I can tell, you know, now.
So it's like, well, I would say, I mean, you've had one of the better up close experiences to where, you know, you had actually a lot of time to sit there and in detail check them out. Now, have you asked to come back and go back and?
I had to get home to back to my family. It was kind of just a me myself day trip to my girlfriend. So I didn't get a whole lot of questions, didn't get to ask a whole lot of questions, but I did, you know, the time I did spend, I mean, I've told you pretty much everything. And I haven't gotten a chance to actually go back or to ask her if I can come back yet. I got a whole lot. Like I said, I might have all day to do whatever I want, but I don't drive myself unless I've got the truck, which is very seldom. So when my husband works, he goes to work, gets the truck. And so like, for me to have a weekend where I can go do something like that is pretty rare, like maybe once or twice a year. So, but as soon as I get the chance, I'll let you know how it goes.
Absolutely.
Having this experience, then how is it changing the way that you're approaching on your property?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. I'm scared to go on the forest by myself. Wait, it'll still hold on. Sorry, my dog is wanting some attention. I don't really feel comfortable going into the forest by myself, really. It's kind of I don't know. I'm sure that if you surprise one, you're going to get aggression, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like any wild animal. You come up on a wild animal, and it's going to be like, rawr, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, I'm not looking at
that. That could certainly change your perspective on what you're dealing with as far as how they react to you, for sure. I mean, let's face it. If you went back in that garden and it would have stood there and roared at you, this experience would have been a whole lot different.
Very
cool. Well, Sally, hey, I'm glad that you reached out tonight, and we got to jump on here with you and hear this story. This is a great story.
Yeah, it was fascinating. Yeah, thank you very much.
And it's like I said, it's one of the few that I've heard that you know, was so kind of laid back as far as getting to like just experience it and take it all in. So yeah, I would consider yourself very lucky.
Yeah. Yep. Thank you for listening to my story.
We appreciate it. And we'll definitely be in touch. Cause I want to hear those other stories.
Right. They're pretty interesting and I'd love to tell them to you. Thank you guys.
Great. Thank you very much.
Yep. Have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the From the Shadows podcast. Until next time, never shy away from the darkness or what may be lurking in the shadows. We are out.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.